All right, welcome to NBA betting Rosenball. All right. Zach LaVine rumors are swirling up. We just want to let it settle before we dissect. The Bulls are in a, we could do a little debrief on that real quick, how they got to this stage, right? So Arterist takes over. I think there's impatience with ownership, with the current regime. And like, look, when you take over a team, you got to give, like, a plan and direction, I would think, to ownership. And I think ownership was sick and tired of finishing, in, like, with the seventh pick every year, and I don't know if they wanted to extend that rebuild. So I think Arterist was in there for the chance to do a little quick shot and contend sooner. And to his credit, he actually was able to at least execute the initial parts of his plan, which to me was you bring Vooch in, and then that offseason, you're able to sign DeRozan, which was not a slam dunk. So that was, you know, that was a almost like a two-for-one. And then he got Lonzo Ball. He got unlucky because Ball got hurt. The issue that I have with management was they kept using the Ball being hurt as an excuse, because when they had that full roster together post-Lonzo Ball, they looked quite good for that first half of the year. They were, like, one of the top seeds in the East. But, yeah, look, sometimes players go down. And it wasn't like he's been down for a while. They haven't really resurrected it, right? So what we learned from it was I think the Bulls need an adult point guard, and that's going to be a theme that I'll bring up. Now, the issue now becomes years later, obviously, you know, things are at a head, and we kind of all knew, like, LaVine, DeRozan and Vucevic aren't necessarily complementary to one another, and they all need the Ball to be effective. So when you know that, you know, we all kind of knew you got to kind of split them up. Now, it's always worth signing an extension to a guy because you could trade him for more parts, as is the case of LaVine. Even though his value is dipped, he still has great value around the league because he's an all-star. He's a guy that could put up, you know, over 28 points on decent efficiency offensively on a good team. He's got to work on his turnovers. Turnover rate is not good, and his defense isn't great. But, again, seemingly somewhat fixable. And his attitude isn't like a Jordan Poole. So he's got that the talent with a decent attitude. A team that's trying to contend or trying to move up, if you will, would gladly acquire him. But then you got to look deeper into the Bulls and what they want to do, right? So, and I keep saying this. If the Bulls were going fired Arterist or demoted him for another GM that was going to be shot calling it, then I think the direction looks a little different, okay? Because if it's a new GM, you know, there's basically the now a new component where maybe they'll rebuild, okay? And there's always like two sides of this. Do you rebuild or do you revamp? Now, everybody's been asking the Bulls to rebuild, basically. Like, this has been an ongoing theme in the media. And right now, it does seem like a decent time because you have a lot of question marks going into potentially a 24 offseason. Okay? Patrick Williams is going to have a looming extension. They didn't extend him, so he's going to be a restricted free agent. Like, that's a decision. DeRozan is a free agent. Do you re-sign him? So you have two guys in your core that are going to either require a ton of money to stay, or, you know, or you lose them, and the question is, do you just, like, trade them, you know, prior for a package? So that's going to be a looming existing concern regardless. But the issue is, by keeping Arterist has no incentive to rebuild, because if he rebuilds, he's, like, asking management for a four-year extension after not showing much for this 3 years. You almost have to continue the plan. And if you're Arterist, and if I'm ownership, I'm nervous about this. They obviously could veto any deal, but, like, his incentive is to do a GM job-saving deal. So while, and what's my proof for that? The guy was in the room of the rumors to get Damian Lillard this past offseason, which tells you everything. It tells you that they're trying to go for, you know, that additional piece to kind of resurrect the team. Now, what's interesting in, like, NBA history is the times where, like, a one-for-one, there's times actually where, like, a one-for-one trade happened and it completely revamps the team. And I don't think there's a coincidence in some of these examples. So recently, a couple years ago, when Ime Udoka was coach of the Celtics, right, and they made their title run 2 years ago, the deal that they did in January that really flipped the switch was, and this wasn't the swap, obviously, but they removed one and they gained another, was basically swapping out Schroeder for Derek White. Now, we could argue, you know, oh, it's because Derek White's really good. That's not a good example. Well, the difference is the style of play, because on that Celtics team, what ended up happening was you had much better off-ball talent, other guys with, if you distribute the usage, is good. But Schroeder was kind of like a me-first offensive guy, and it didn't flow with the team. That's not what they needed. Derek White, good ball mover, and then allowed all these other usages to happen, and better defender, and that little increase was great. It was kind of like when the Red Sox swapped Nomar Garciaparra for Orlando Cabrera, which led to the World Series run. It's not the same sport, I get it, but like the net was huge. You had a net on both ends. You had an offensive boon because now everyone's usage goes up. They're more efficient than Schroeder, and you know, now they feel like they could take their man off the dribble. They don't have to rely on Schroeder doing that. And then defensively is a huge boost. Okay? The other classic time in the NBA that happened was Stephon Marbury traded for Jason Kidd, right, with the Nets. Nets-Suns trade. Kidd was an adult point guard. And they needed someone, they needed like a head of the snake, if you will, to really change around that team, get everyone involved, get people to the right spaces, people like playing with him. And he saw the huge bonus there. And this concept of adult point guard, I've talked about before, but it's a really big deal. And I used to not be a proponent of it. I used to think like wings could play point guard, and I was wrong. And my proof was like, you know, Jordan Crawford on the Celtics years ago in 2015, 2016, maybe, I don't remember the exact year. He was even flirting with an all-star team. And he was a wing who then converted to point guard, looked a lot better. Maybe for a backup point guard it works. But for a starter, you need to have, for certain teams, that almost that coach on the floor that's going to get everyone in the right spot and all that. And look, you already see the benefits. You look at Houston. Getting Fred VanVleet was really the move. Starting of the year, I think 6-3 under Fred. You know, and they had these guys like that didn't really, their focus wasn't on distributing the ball, even though they could play point guard, like Jalen Green. He's not focused on distributing the ball. And that's the issue right now with the Bulls. The Bulls right now, their point guard rotation are off the ball guys, which works when your wing is truly your point guard or your point forward, if you will. So, you know, for the Lakers, if you have a LeBron James as a wing, fine. You have Paul George who can facilitate, you know, okay. It works more then. But DeRozan, while his assist numbers have gone up, isn't really that guy. LaVine's definitely not that guy because his turnover rate's too high. And again, he's looking at his own shot. So the long story is the Bulls need, if your goal is to kind of revamp on the fly, you have to look at the things in NBA history where teams were able to make the quick flip. They're a 500 team or flirting with it, and then all of a sudden saw a boost. And what was the swap they did? They swapped for an adult point guard. That's the Derek White example. That's the Jason Kidd example. Okay? The problem that the Bulls have is that, like, does that leader exist, right? Now, again, we could go through the teams and the trades, and I there's going to be buckets of teams that fall under one of the categories. The thing now in the NBA is it's really easy to rebuild. What I mean by that is, like, because of what Silver did, and he created parity and, you know, making all these restrictions against tanking, not a lot of teams have incentive to tank. The teams that are tanking by accident. No one's, like, actively tanking, okay? Not even San Antonio. Like, they're pretty good. So, if you're going to move LaVine, I think you need a target, an adult point guard. And, you know, you got to scope around the league and figure out, like, who that guy is and who's not hurt and all that, right? So, and it might not make sense for every single team. There's a three-way deal, I think, or whatever, right? So, first, like, the teams are going to, like, every team, like, make an argument, can want him. A lot of teams are going to go after him. I think the Bulls are going to have their pick. Like, if you just did the classic swap, any of these deals are actually good deals, in my opinion, because I actually I don't think moving LaVine is necessarily an addition via subtraction. But you're not getting the full Zach LaVine on your team if you're the Bulls anyway. And if you remove him for like an off-the-ball, smart, two-way wing, you're going to improve. So if you, and you get picks out of that, it's bonus. So all these deals that people are floating around, Tyler Hero in picks, Wiggins in picks, they're all great. They're all the Lakers, Reeves, Russell in a pick. I can make sense for all of that. But again, if you look at the Bulls, if Arturis, the GM there, and what his incentive is, he needs to make a move that gets them on the right track this season and maybe also helps them get younger. He needs to kind of retool. So you gotta do it differently. If you're the Bulls, I would actually focus on, it's probably a three-way trade to do that. Because if you start focusing on who the adult point guards are, who really works in my team, the framework looks a little different. So let's go through it. So there's some all-star adult point guards. Like Atlanta's got two of them. They got DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. Okay. Now, I go both ways on this. Because, like, is Murray really the guy I want? His contract's not great. The fit is eh. That could work. Like a LaVine-Murray swap, in theory, this pick's involved. I get it. That's not bad. Now, for Atlanta, you now have, like, the worst backcourt defense ever. So that's the concern. If you do it for Trae Young, you got to give up other pieces for Chicago. Is it worth it? And just become the Atlanta Hawks all over again. You know, and you're going to have, like, it could work. But Young requires a ton of usage to be successful. And is DeRozan and Vucevic going to be happy pretty much reducing the role from, you know, let's see who the number one guy is going to be to, like, clear two and three guys by a decent margin, usage-wise, on this new-look Bulls team. So I don't know about that. If I think there's actually less-valued targets. But we'll go through, right? So I actually think, you know, you have to look at the situation. It's, like, it's similar to, like, when Ish Smith joined Philly. Okay, Philly under Brett Brown, people remember this years ago. This is like pre-Simmons. They were tanking like crazy. Well, Simmons was there. I think he was hurt. They couldn't win a lick. And then they got an adult point guard. They got Ish Smith. And it really resurrected the team. Now, they still were quite bad, but at least they were winning some games. And it gave them like an identity and a maturity. Like, I'm going to go down this theme, adult point guard. But adult point guard doesn't always have to be a starter. So one of the more interesting situations I would probably look at, I look at actually two guys that come to mind, and I could be missing others, right? And you have to look at situations like, you know, how come they're not, you're not getting the full self of these guys. It could be the situation they're in and all that. But to me, you know, it's similar to like with Ricky Rubio in Cleveland. He's out now. Ricky Rubio's out indefinitely. I don't know if he's going to come back. But if you looked at the Cavs numbers, you know, a couple years ago, they were, you know, pre-Donovan Mitchell, they started the year as a top four seed. And a lot of it had to do with Ricky Rubio, which is crazy. Coming off the bench, the second unit looked fantastic. Again, Rubio was an adult point guard. The benefits of that are quite massive. So to me, you start scoping around the league, like, who are the adult point guards that you could get? So to me, there's a couple. I'll go through two examples. There's one I like better than the other. So what is Malcolm Brogdon on Portland? They're obviously looking to move him. And again, that doesn't mean you do a LaVine for Brogdon swap. There's a three-way there. And we're going to discuss what the three-way looks like and all that. You don't need to move a lot to get Brogdon. But in theory, you could do something like, you know, LaVine to Miami, right? And, you know, Hero goes to Chicago. A pick goes to Portland. And Brogdon goes to the Bulls. You get Brogdon and Hero for LaVine. That could happen. That could be a move. Obviously, other pieces involved. I get it. I get it. It's not so simple. Now, is Brogdon the right fit? My issue with Brogdon is he's an adult point guard. He's kind of a combo guard. I don't know if he could be the head of the snake. He also isn't healthy, which is a concern. Like, their goal is to really replace Lonzo Ball from a couple of years ago. Is that going to do it? I don't know. They went down that road with Patrick Beverley. He's not the same. Beverley is a lot worse than Brogdon. I get it. But Brogdon's health concerns me, so that's the risk. Okay, but yeah. And is he the best option? I don't know. He's not really like this head of the snake per se. The guy I actually target isn't him. It's Tyus Jones on Washington. Let me dissect that further, right? So Tyus Jones, if people don't remember, for the last couple of years pre-Washington, was really pivotal to the Grizzlies because John Morant was out a lot. And when John Morant was out, Jones still had the Grizzlies playing at a similar level than pre-Morant. Like a 52-54 win team, which they were with Morant and without Morant because of Tyus Jones. Now, this is not a knock to John Morant. That's actually a testament to Tyus Jones. John Morant's fantastic. But the fact that you're not seeing that much of a drop-off without Morant tells you Tyus Jones was doing a really good job of sort of quarterbacking that lineup. And there's no coincidence now that when the Grizzlies lost John Morant, obviously, to start the year, and there's no Tyus Jones, so they have Marcus Smart, Derrick Rose, right? There's a massive drop-off. That tells you, obviously, how good Morant is, but it also tells you what they're missing in Tyus Jones. Now, the issue right now that Tyus Jones has is with the Wizards, it's awkward. Is he really the point guard? Jordan Poole's there, and there's kind of like, you know, I think Tyus Jones is trying his best, but like Poole's like, no, it's my team. He's got a kind of an attitudinal thing, it seems, based on like the videos you watch. And as a result, I don't think you know the full effect of Tyus Jones. So I think Tyus Jones is an NBA starting point guard. I think he's not as good as Fred VanVleet, but you can get similar, it's a similar aspect that what Fred VanVleet is bringing to Houston. So Tyus Jones would be my target. Now, he's not that hard to get. He's not, especially a Wizards team that like should absolutely rebuild. I don't think they have another choice. That's an accidental rebuild. And again, it's another situation where like you just throw in a pick and you're getting Tyus Jones. I don't think it's even have to be, does not have to be a good pick. I think I know this sounds insane. If you just swapped LaVine for Tyus Jones, I think the Bulls get better. And he becomes your point guard. I think that's a smart, that is the target that exists right now. There's not, and again, you go around the league, like, are there better point guards? Sure, they're just not available. And these other guys are not adult point guards, like the guy, other guys that are rumored. So you could also go a rebuild route, but again, they're not going to go the rebuild route as we talked about. Like Orlando, people were talking about Suggs, Isaac, and like a pick. And if you're the Bulls, that also makes a lot of sense. You prove defensively, get an energy guy in Suggs. Suggs, I think, has potential to be that, you know, future point guard maybe. In Orlando, I saw some flashes when they were forced to start him, I think, last year for a couple of games. Looked good. Small sample size, though. And again, and that's a deal you might look at if you were a new GM coming in. But this current GM, I don't think thinks that way. So, bottom line for me is I do think they need adult point guard is the need. It's the need. Or you can wait on it. But again, if you wait on any of the Bulls and you say, like, we'll get adult point guard later, not a lot of good ones are available. If you wait on it, then I think you get fired at the end of the year because no matter who you're going to get, if you don't have that player, and you're not going to get it off the waiver wire like the Patrick Beverleys of the world like he did last year. You need it now. There's an extreme need. And scope it around the league. That's the fit. That's the fit right there. And then we could argue who the other pieces are. I think it's quite easy to perform a three-way post that. And look, do the Bulls have like a mesh of like weak other point guards? Yeah. And look, if I were the Bulls, quite frankly, and again, like hindsight's 20/20, but not really because they could do it right now. I would have waited on the LaVine deal till the deadline. I would have done the Tyus Jones deal now, increased his value, LaVine's value, and see what happened before the deadline. And then if LaVine really wants out, then I can maximize LaVine and do it there. I would do the Tyus Jones deal now. They have AO and everybody. So, yeah, that's my only concern. But, you know, again, we'll see what happens.